Welcome to Holiday Island, a world-class flight school in the land of waterfalls, floating rings, and the Loch Ness Monster. You, the player, must complete a series of increasingly outlandish challenges on your quest to secure that coveted pilot's license. Also, there's space shuttle launches, giant bouncing balls, and mecha fights, because that's just the kind of game this is. Pilot Wing 64 is a dead serious flight simulator packaged inside a goofy Nintendo game. The physics and 3D environments are about as realistic as you could get in 1996, far surpassing the detail of even Microsoft's flagship Flight Sim 98 a year later, although the two games are clearly going for different aesthetics. This was a remarkable achievement in 3D graphics, released right at the launch of the Nintendo 64, and all these years later, it's still quite impressive. Hello and welcome to Computer Lab Hijinks, a show about games, old software, and web ephemera. Today we're taking a look at Pilot Wing 64, a game that is probably best remembered as the other N64 launch title, next to Super Mario 64. Although recently, Pilot Wing 64 has also become famous for its soundtrack by composer Dan Hess. It's a unique blend of musical genres that attempts to capture the excitement of futuristic 3D worlds, but in the last few years, it's entered the canon of chill, relaxing video game music, right up there with GoldenEye's pause screen or the Mi channel. But it's also an incredible game in its own right, and there's a lot to talk about, so let's dive right in. In the mid-90s, Nintendo was looking for developers who could produce fully 3D worlds, with the right mix of detailed environments and smooth performance, in time for the launch of their new console. Unfortunately, the best-in-class tools for building 3D models, the Silicon Graphics workstations, were notoriously expensive and arcane machines that most development houses weren't set up to use. The developers of GoldenEye, for example, had to pay artists to sit around for weeks on end watching training videos on the Alias Wavefront software, because this was a new skill set. There just weren't enough 3D modelers to go around, at least in the field of game design. With traditional development houses unavailable or not interested, Nintendo looked at Paradigm Simulation, which was, I kid you not, a defense contractor from Texas, whose previous output consisted of simulation tools for companies like Boeing and the US Department of Defense. Nintendo commissioned them to make a flight sim for the upcoming N64 with a fairly wise division of responsibilities. Paradigm would make it an accurate and stable flight sim, while Nintendo would provide all the design work and art direction, basically the things that made it a Nintendo game. The result is an exceptional game that, in my opinion, still feels modern. Pilot Wing 64 offers three sets of initial objectives, which line up with the game's main aircraft: a hang glider, a jetpack, and a gyrocopter. Each category has four missions of increasing difficulty, but as the player works through the game, each of these missions contains up to three or four smaller objectives, which make the whole game much longer than it might initially seem. It's also quite difficult. The game scores the player separately on things like mission objectives, the amount of time it takes to complete them, and two separate categories for landing the aircraft. These last two scores are particularly hard to refine because the three vehicles control very differently, and landing on the runway or target takes a lot of practice. You have to approach the landing area at just the right angle and elevation with the correct speed and timing, and getting any of these things wrong could ruin an otherwise flawless run, which means starting over. Again, this game is hard, and I kind of love it. Even completing the game's lowest rank of bronze to unlock some of the extra content, such as the game's famous Birdman minigame, is quite a challenge. I clocked around 6 hours of gameplay just to clear the minimum score to unlock everything, with an awful lot of that time spent in retries, false starts, and purposely crashing the aircraft when I realized I had missed an important maneuver by the smallest angle and had to start over. This is right up there with F-Zero and Trackmania as a game that requires precise movements, which have to be memorized and then executed almost perfectly to get through the levels. But after all the missions have been completed, the player gets access to what might be the most famous playable moments in this game, the sandbox modes. This includes the Cannonball minigame, as well as the aforementioned Birdman mode, in which the player character straps into a wingsuit and flies around Holiday Island, mostly just for fun, although there's collectible stars that are incredibly tricky to get. There's also a skydiving mode, which involves matching the character up to a series of silhouettes as quickly as possible and then landing smoothly, as well as a jumping minigame called Jumble Hopper, which involves these huge mechanical leaps across the island. It's chaotic. But there's something to be said for moving through fully 3D environments with this amount of raw speed. While I can't speak to how this game would have felt in the mid-90s, I can honestly say that the world of Pilotwings 64 still feels detailed, with a lot of care having gone into the environments. It's a serious flight simulator with convincing physics and movement, but filled with all those weird Nintendo details that make it an amusing experience. The character models have an illustrated feel, even at their incredibly conservative poly count, which keeps things running smoothly. There's even an Easter egg where Mario is one of the faces on Mount Rushmore, with the added joke that he turns into Wario if you hit him with a cannonball. This is a very fun game in ways that flight simulators usually aren't, because silliness generally isn't the point. Microsoft's Flight Sim series, for example, has never included a single Easter egg, with the slight exception of a nod to Windows Vista in Flight Simulator X, everyone's favorite operating system, of course. And the most recent entry included emulated versions of the early games playable on a small screen in the cockpit. But otherwise, these games don't wink at the player even a little bit. They are, to quote the tagline of Flight Sim 95, as real as it gets. By contrast, Pilotwings is far more interested in goofing around, and it makes for a very different experience. Several of the missions require taking aerial photos of sea creatures, first a whale and then this red Loch Ness monster thing. It's charming and endearing, which is a feeling that permeates almost every aspect of this game's presentation. For one thing, my very unusual introduction to this game was through its soundtrack, which has become something of a fan favorite among video game music enthusiasts because of its incredibly chill sound. It also predates Nintendo's Blue Ocean strategy of the Nintendo Wii onward, when they loaded up a whole console with Muzak and Bossa Nova tracks to make the whole experience feel welcoming and generally less scary than the competition, to get more people interested in video games. Nowadays, there's a bit of a canon of relaxing video game soundtracks, especially here on YouTube. But Pilotwings 64 was doing this back in 96, many years before we were ever graced with the Wii Shop Channel theme. Also, it needs to be said, the game contains these incredible Looney Tunes-style screaming sounds whenever the player crashes the aircraft, even at low speeds. And as one final note on the game's aesthetics, I have to point out these phenomenal congratulations level complete screens, with their color gradient fills over the text. It is so 90s and so closely tied with early Photoshop and desktop publishing tools. Nothing says we made this on the computer quite like color gradients, and that's kind of a beautiful thing. At one point, this was what the future looked like, and now it's hilariously retro. Time comes for all of us. Memento mori. Now, I want to take a moment to look at flight simulators in general and how this game fits into an important tradition as far as the development of 3D games. In my experience, flight sims were never a huge part of the mainstream canon of video games, and they often feel siloed into their own hobby, something that home theater dads would fire up in the 90s to put their brand new desktop computer through its paces, almost like a glorified tech demo. I didn't know any diehard gamers who started playing Flight Sim 95 because they liked playing video games. Rather, they started playing Flight Sim because they liked aviation, or they wanted some excuse to buy the Sidewinder joystick, which, for the record, was cool as hell. And I suspect, for those people, Flight Sims may have been their first exposure to PC gaming. But as much as this genre feels isolated from the rest of games culture, the contributions of flight simulators to the rest of video games, especially in the move to 3D, cannot be overstated. In an article for IEEE Spectrum, Matthew Smith writes, "The heart of the flight simulator franchise isn't in gamification, but in the technical spectacle it uses to simulate flight and the ground beneath you. The focus on true-to-life depiction reflects the background of the game's developers." Later in that article, Smith talks about the creators of the flight simulator franchise, who were not only interested in computer programming, but also took courses in flight school. It's worth noting that the field of aviation has been much more open to things like computer simulation and full-on automation than almost any other industry. Off-the-shelf simulation software wasn't a genre that evolved from other video games, rather it emerged from an existing flight simulator industry, which was already profitable. And the history goes even further back than you might expect. For one thing, the franchise that would eventually become Microsoft Flight Simulator began in 1979 with FS1 Flight Simulator on the TRS-80. It's a very basic game made up of straight lines that the player has to look at and imagine a world. But the mechanics are all there, albeit in an early state. The performance wasn't advertised in terms of poly count or frames per second, and instead the software could draw 150 lines per second. And just to be clear, this game came out the same year as Asteroids, and it even predates Battlezone. It also predates id Software's work in the first-person genre by a full decade. Flight Sims were the first games to ever simulate a 3D space, which they did using crude, limited resources. We don't always include these kinds of games in the typical best games ever list or other popular histories of the gaming medium. The Strong Museum of Play in Rochester, one of the world's leading curations of video games, only included Flight Simulator in 2021, but they're a huge part of the history. So how does Pilot Wing 64 fit into that legacy? Shockingly enough, and this is something that caught me by complete surprise when I started doing this research, it was actually something of a graphical powerhouse. Firstly, it should be noted that Pilot Wings has more of an arcade tone than Microsoft's Flight Sim, because it's meant to be played in quick sessions of 3 or 4 minute levels. Flight Simulator, on the other hand, has real-time flights that can take multiple hours if the player chooses, so the playable area has to be Earth. Pilot Wing 64 instead focuses on a few specific islands, including a pretty remarkable shrunk-down version of the United States. By focusing on quality over quantity, Paradigm was able to accomplish a great deal more visual fidelity. It's a fully 3D, relatively well-performing game, with significantly more visual detail than we were seeing on comparable PC flight sims of the era, at least on consumer-level hardware. The pixels on the ground texture in Flight Sim 98 might as well represent whole football fields, with very few objects outside of major cities and a mostly flat ground surface. By contrast, Pilot Wing 64 has whole cities, skyscrapers, and even other aircraft. And the ground isn't just a flat plain, it has mountains and waterfalls. In 1996, this was nothing short of a technical marvel. And compared to other 3D games of its era, it controls really well. Notably, almost every review of Mario 64, including the one by Nintendo Power, is at least a little bit critical of the camera controls. The game involves some amount of perpetually fighting with the C buttons to figure out the world around you. But Pilot Wing 64 had no such backlash, and this was arguably tied to the central premise of Flight Sims. The perspective is already figured out because the pilot is you, the player. Almost every flight sim lets you switch between a first-person cockpit view and a third-person view of the aircraft in flight, and that's pretty much all you need for a game like this. There's no reason to stop and look around or figure out what's behind you, because the player is constantly in motion. And whereas even the first-person shooter genre was still figuring out exactly how much verticality players could handle before getting frustrated, flight sims were all about free movement in every direction. They're the perfect distillation of 3D worlds. Moving around is certainly a challenge, but it's the challenge, if that makes sense. Overall, Pilot Wing 64 is an odd combination of two competing things: a detailed flight simulation program made by a dead serious military contractor, and also a Nintendo game where cartoon circus performers take aerial photographs of the Loch Ness Monster while listening to chill MIDI music. It also happens to be an incredibly difficult game, and that's not necessarily just a design choice. Flight sims can be hard to pick up and play. The physics of the real world have a bit of a learning curve. If you're hoping to play this game today, which I highly recommend doing, it's one of very few N64 games that is actually improved by the Nintendo Switch Online emulator. They've tweaked the performance and made it run just a little bit smoother, which is more than I can say for pretty much every other N64 game on the Switch. So if you like crashing planes, if you like replaying the same levels over and over to get a few extra points, or if you just like relaxing music, Pilot Wing 64 is an absolute blast, and a huge technical achievement even 28 years later. Thank you for watching Computer Lab Hijinks. This is the first episode in a series where we're looking at every Nintendo 64 game in release order for as long as I can stand it. It's a lofty goal to cover all 296 games, and if I cover one game a month, it'll take 24 years. But I'm not doing much else, so why not? We're off next week, but we'll be back the following Wednesday with a new video not related to video games at all, but it's a pretty good one, so stay tuned for that. I'm Nathan, telling you to keep your files safe, keep your passwords managed, and for goodness sake, don't click on any strange links. We'll see you in a couple weeks.